My name's Chris. If you don't know, I'm the transitional pastor here as we're looking for a long-term pastor. And so I was just asked to introduce Chris McQuave. So some of you have been here for any length of time know Chris was studied at Regent, was part of this church. You were on the leadership team as well, on the board, elder, whatever the team was. Pastoral team. And so he's very familiar with our church and the history going way back to the days of Tim. And you come roughly once a year you come to the area? Greg Lang. Okay, yeah, that's before my time. And you usually come about once a year, is that right? So we're always glad that when Chris comes, he messaged me a while ago and said, hey, I'm going to come. If you would like me to preach? We're like, yes, of course. So we're glad to have Chris here all the way from Zambia. I'm sure you will send us some greetings from home. And why don't you come up? Can I pray for you? All right, great. Lord, we rejoice in, even as we heard during the announcements of people all over the world praising you this morning, and even this international setting we are here, and we receive Chris this morning from Zambia to share your word, Lord. We look forward to hear what you have to speak to us through your servant. Bless your servant, anoint your service as he speaks to us this morning, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Chris.
Thank you, my namesake. Yeah, so good to be here this morning. You such a wonderful family, indeed. It's been like 10 years since we left to go back to Zambia, but it's always a joy to come here and visit with you, have fellowship with you. Some time back, I sent Catherine, my wife, to come and preach here, and I was told you prefer her to preach more than me quite often, but I'll just let her come and greet you, and then yes.
Good morning, everyone. So wonderful. It feels like coming back home. You are family to us, and we always think about you, pray about for you, and it's so wonderful to be here again. So I was here with Suzio. In 2019, we had such a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord, and I feel like the Lord is going to do even more today as we come and as we receive the word. So let's be open to listen to what God... I always believe that God has got a rhema word for each one of us. You may not get everything, but there's just that single word for you that you need to hear today. God bless you. We bring greetings from our daughters, Mapalo and Faith. I don't know, Faith was very small, now she's 20. Mapalo is 26, so they are big girls. They would love to come someday, God willing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So we bring greetings from our church, Living Hope Church, in Lusaka, Zambia, which is a member of the Pentecost Assemblies of God, Zambia, which is a sister church to Pentecost Assemblies of Canada. All right. And also glad here to have family with us from Surrey. So my brother's wife is here, Anne. She will just wave at us. And also their daughter, Natasia, with the husband. She's in the family room there. And Devin, our in-law there. So we receive you. We thank you so much. I should have some friends that should be coming. I don't know, maybe they are late from the States, Birmingham area. So I can't see them. Ruth and Benny. But we're glad to be here, just to be able to share the word of God together. We've been around since, was it last week? Yeah, so we've been around here. I was able to preach at Grace International Baptist Church last Sunday, which is under British Columbia Baptist Conference, where the organization my brother oversees. But he's not here. He was preaching at my church in Lusaka, Zambia. So we switched, and we never even met when he came to Zambia. And when he comes, we'll switch again. We won't meet. So that's how crazy schedules can be. But if you can, we'll read the scriptures. I will ask you to stand to your feet. You turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and I was told you are doing the series on the Beatitudes, and I was given to speak from part of that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 5, and specifically looking at verse 17 to 20, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. I don't know if that's what we have there, but the Bible says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one little one title will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of these, the least of these commandments, and teaches men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Let's just pray together. Father, indeed, we give you thanks for the reading of scripture, and we commit ourselves to the authority and power of this scripture, praying that you alone will transform our lives hearing your word. And grant unto me clarity of speech and prophetic utterance to speak your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. You may take your seats. So I want to speak to us this morning on the theme, okay, the Sermon on the Mount, but a countercultural agenda. What is the Sermon on the Mount all about? As Jesus Christ introduced his ministry and he began to preach the message of the kingdom of God, he was speaking to a culture that he had come to transform. So when he began to speak about the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, he's speaking about the values of the kingdom of God. The world today needs to be impacted by the ethics of God's kingdom. You and I agree that the world is in turmoil right now. The world is conflicted. There's so much evil that's taking place in this world. There's so much hatred and so much polarization where communities are polarized against each other. Look at the senseless war in Ukraine. All that. Look at the war going on right now between Israel and Hamas. Look at many evils all around. And we are here this morning hearing about God's transformational agenda. So the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus Christ speaks to us, he outlines his agenda to come and bring a new direction, a new way of thinking, new way of living and doing things. And God has appointed the church, you and I, to be the agents through which the kingdom values would be demonstrated. So we are here to catalyze, what God has come to do in this world. We are the catalysts. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, Jesus Christ speaks about our role in this world as he gives us this agenda. I'm trying to look for that scripture. If it comes there, I'll be very glad. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, where he gives us what we are supposed to do because of who we are. We are the light and salt of this world. So in Matthew chapter 5, he says, verse 13 to 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." You know, even as difficult as it is, you may be saying, "But I'm not in Israel, I'm here. I'm not in Ukraine, but I'm here." Listen to me. The little that you can do to respond to what's happening, God will honor it. You can kneel down and pray, God will answer your prayer. You've got people from Ukraine here. You can touch their lives and agree with them and pray. And they may even be here. God will honor you. You may have people from the Middle East here. You can touch them and pray. You know, things that are happening are beyond us. They are beyond understanding, and we are not here as people of the kingdom to take sides. We are here to be on God's side. We need to be on God's side. So the Lord Jesus Christ is focusing on the law, and he wants to make sure that he is not misunderstood as he's teaching on the ethics of the kingdom. And that's why he says, I have not come to destroy the law. We need to understand and have a positive attitude towards the law. When he talks about the law, he's talking about the first five books of the Old Testament. And when he talks about the prophets, he's also talking about the former prophets, being Joshua, being Samuel, Kings, and all that. He's speaking about those former prophets, and then he's talking about the latter prophets as well, as we know them, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and following, and the minor prophets, and sometimes also some of the writings like the Psalms are referred to as the prophets. So we see that the law and the prophets contain God's ways of maintaining a relationship with God and humanity. So when you read through the law and the prophets, it's all about relationships. How do we relate with God and humanity, as well as our environment? That's about the law. So Christ did not come to destroy that. Now, the Old Testament prefigured God's highest plan that would be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So all that was pointing to Christ. Christ as the goal, as the chief end in everything, as the terminator of the law, in the sense that he fulfills it. He is the perfect representation of what the Father wants for humanity. So when Christ was manifested, then we see in full. We see what God wants and what he desires. And that's why in chapter 5, verse 17, he's saying that he did not come to destroy the law. So verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So he is the exemplification or the very reality of what the Father desired us to be. And that's the goal of the law. The law is perfect. It comes from the heart of God. It is holy. And we cannot contain it because of our sinful state. We fall short. We are not perfect. We fall short. Something needs to be done to us for us to be able to appreciate, love the law, and live it. So it is God's will that we fulfill the truths and the principles contained in the Old Testament. Of course, there are ceremonial laws that relate to the cultural outlook of the Jewish people, from where we can also learn principles that God comes to transform a culture so that a culture lives according to God's will. In Romans chapter 3, verse 31, and then chapter 8, verse 4, we are told, just want to turn to that quickly right now. So Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. The Bible says, in verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. The law is established. We do not look down on the law. Chapter 8 and verse 4, Romans chapter 8, verse 4, if you can give me that as well, that would be great. Okay? Yes. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Chapter 8, verse 4. So, sort of. Chapter 4, verse 8. All right. Okay. It's up now. Okay, so I was getting confused. Is that what I wrote? All right. So in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. The requirements of the law are righteous. They are righteous. There's nothing conflicting in any way. So we do fulfill those requirements by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, something needs to be done to our hearts for us to fulfill the requirements of the law. Now, what am I saying here? Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live counter-cultural lives. Do not flow with the wind. Do not flow with the culture. Look at what God wants you to do within the culture and transform it. We are living in the culture where people can believe anything, they can live anything, they can eat anything, they can marry anything. So that's the kind of culture that we are living in. So are you going to flow with that culture or transform the culture? Now, how do you transform it? And that's what Jesus is now emphasizing on. How do you transform it? Do you bash the culture or transform it? So that's the question. So we will become God's agents in his transformational agenda when we become complete in Christ. Firstly, we need to be complete in Christ. That's the central focus, that we need to be complete in relationship with Christ, where we become complete. How does that happen? Number one, the obedience of the law from a transformed heart. We need to obey the law of the Lord from a transformed heart. In verse 21 to 22, the Lord Jesus Christ makes reference where he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's an ironical statement. What does Christ mean? Were the Pharisees righteous? According to Christ's perspective? No. But here he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Then verse 21, he continues to say, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Now verse 28, I want to skip all that. You can read all that in your own time. Then we go to verse 28. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So we see that Christ is focusing on the heart. The Pharisees are focusing on external impressions. So we need to move away from external impressions, impressing people by what we do, and go to the actions that are generated from the heart. Actions that are generated from the heart. So the law can be obeyed from a transformed heart. Ethical and moral principles originate from God. So they need to come from God to our hearts. The law reflects God's character, his desires, his standards for all people. That's simply what it reflects. It comes from him. Those are his desires. And we see that the law is the moral code of character for those who are already in a living relationship with God. So when you are in a living relationship with God, that essentially what you not only spiritually but naturally exhibit in your Christian life. Because it comes from a relationship with Christ. There's no struggle, but there is a flow. There is a relationship. It's an organic flow from God through your heart to the world. It is an organic flow. So let us show our grateful attitude to Christ for saving us by living in obedience to his law from our hearts. That's what we need to do. Secondly, obedience of the law from a loving heart. First is a transformed heart, where in a relationship with Christ, Christ changes you. He changes you. And just before I move away from that, a couple of scriptures have just come right now. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27, Ezekiel chapter 36. So, this is what the prophets are prophesying as to what would become of our transformed hearts. Where is Ezekiel? So I think I found it. Yes, chapter 36, from verse 26, the Bible says the following. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you keep my judgments and do them. So it is from that premise that we will follow and obey the law of God with joy. It's no longer a burden. So in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 5. So we are called upon to obey the law from a loving heart. And we see that faith in Christ is the beginning point for that. Faith in Christ is the beginning point for that. So therefore, if anyone sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Then do not ignore even the iota, the letter of the law from God. That's what the Bible is saying. But that should come through a relationship. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 to 22. If you can give me that passage of scripture, please. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 to 22. The Apostle Paul writes to us through the Roman church how that we need to, to be grateful to God. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Verse 18, let's move on. Let's go on, please. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Listen, we from slavery to slavery. Now the two bondages are different. One does not have benefits, one has benefits. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. Verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So we obey the law because God is our Father, and we are his children. We obey because Dad told me so. This is what Dad said. I know sometimes it may not sound exciting because of the rebellious generation. You know, we have children, when Dad will say something, then the children go the opposite. But there's a joy in doing what Dad said. And that's the joy that we have before God. In John chapter 1, verse 12 says, for those who received him, is that what he says? For those who believed in his name, he gave them the power or the right to become children of God. So we have the power given to us to become God's children. And Galatians 4 verse 6, because we are children, then it says, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So this has an intimate connection from our hearts. We love God from our hearts. So we are excited about obeying our Father because that's what it's supposed to be. That's how children live with their parents. They obey. So we live by God's law because we love Christ as our Savior. So right now, there's a Trinitarian relationship relating with God as our Father, relating with Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. As Romans chapter 7, verse 4 to 6 tells us, Romans chapter 7, 4 to 6, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, that's another law, to him who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So we are now given to serving the law of Christ. So the Spirit of God inspires us to obey the law from our hearts. The law of Christ is the law of love. So you are going to live a countercultural life in this conflicted world by simply living in love. And love melts any stumbling block under whatsoever. In Romans 8 verse 13, the Bible there tells us that, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. When you are in a relationship with Christ, it now becomes your responsibility to begin to say no to what the flesh is commanding you to do. No to what the desires of the flesh are saying. Similarly, further in Galatians 3 verse 5 and 14, so again I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? We have received, verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So we have this love poured into our hearts by which we are going to live in God's law and demonstrate the law of God, the law of love. Thirdly and lastly, the righteousness that impacts from inside out. I'm speaking about how we will become God's agents in his transformational agenda when we become complete in Christ. So I'm saying we need to walk in the righteousness that impacts from inside out. In verse 20 of Matthew chapter 5, this is where Jesus is saying that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, these characters, called Pharisees, were very impressive. Even their dressing, you couldn't mistake them. You saw holy people in the market, just the way they were dressed. White robes and very pious walk in the marketplaces. And they did acts of charity. They gave alms. He gets money. He makes sure everyone sees his giving to the beggar. You know, very impressive. They were very impressive. They were tithing big. But Jesus Christ finds something wrong with them. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. That's not in your notes. But please give me that one. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. So Jesus Christ, you know, picks at them. He picks at the Pharisees and the scribes. If you could find that verse for me quickly. Matthew, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So he's speaking at them, and they were always complaining, but Jesus, why are you always getting at us? He says, because you are hypocrites. The same people, you are bringing big tithes, but the same people, you are heartless. You find a woman caught in adultery, you bring her, you want her stoned, you let the man run away. You are heartless. That's not what I came to do. I came to transform that woman living in adultery. I did not come to condemn her. You ignore people on the periphery, the poor, the disadvantaged, and you ignore them, and you are looking for lofty seats in big meetings. Hypocrites. So Jesus Christ is speaking to them that he's not looking at their external righteousness. He's looking at what is from the heart, a transformed heart. We are called to influence others in our attitude and response to God's law. We need to influence others, and we can only influence others when they can see it from our hearts. You know, you can give somebody a gift and they will see that you still don't love them, because it can go to them as an obligation, as a show, or just to get rid of them, or so that you can have peace. Our position and influence in God's kingdom is determined by our obedience to God. Then we will have a position of influence in the kingdom of God. Christ is, however, making reference to the zeal with which the Pharisees exhibited their hypocritical righteousness. Says, at least be as zealous as them. But from your heart, be excited about your faith from your heart. Be passionate from your heart. Learn from the Pharisees. They were zealous. They were passionate. They believed in their falsehood. So believe in the truth that God has given to you. So an internally transformed life will outwardly demonstrate obedience to the law. So you match the external exhibition of your faith with your internal transformation. Then you will live like Christ. Is everyone hearing God's word this morning? It's so quiet here. And is it only Chris saying amen, agreeing with me? Okay, praise God. Well, what I'm saying is, let me now just summarize it in three things as I conclude my message. Okay, so, and I will not evangelistically conclude like a preacher who concludes five times, but really, I am concluding. The world is sinking into deep darkness, and we can see it. Let's not be hopeless. Let's be hopeful. We have a God in heaven who will not let his world be destroyed. Let us just become partners with what he is doing. So let us work with God and avail ourselves to be that light that shines in darkness. You and I are the light of the world. It may look very difficult. It may look impossible. It may look so hard for you to even share the gospel, but actually it is not. It is not, if you let God in your life. one person at a time. One exhibition of love at a time. We will change the world. Picture it this way. You know, Jesus comes with a counter message. Says you've heard an eye for an eye, an ear for an ear. But if your enemy is hungry, feed them. Now, Christ is saying, imagine you have an armed burglary into your house. And these burglars come in. So, let me just make you a cup of coffee before you take what you want. I listen to me. Here's coffee. Here's a meal for you. Now, help yourself. What will that do to the thief? I'm not saying that's what you should do. I don't know what I would do myself. But what will that do? It will melt their heart. They will run away. They will run away. But we have many difficult relationships with people that we can transform by our response in love. So let us exhibit godly character as we live among the people who are, demonstrating and exhibiting broken lives. Let's mend them with the values of the kingdom of God. Shall we stand to our feet together and pray? Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live countercultural lives and will become God's agents in his transformational agenda when we become complete in Christ by living in obedience to the law from a transformed heart. A relationship with Christ is critical. Obedience to the law from a loving heart. The heart of God is love. And exhibiting righteousness from inside out, which comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you are in the place where you're saying, God, help me live as you want me to live. Let's close our eyes and respond to God right now in prayer, each one of us, and avail yourself as an agent of transformation. While you and I pray in that manner, I just want to pray specifically for one who may be saying, Pastor Chris, my relationship with Christ is neither here nor there. I don't have a personal relationship with God, and I would want it to begin from there. So if you are such a person while everyone is contemplating on this message, I want to pray for you specifically, and I will ask you to slip up your right hand. I'll see it, then I'll pray for you. If you want to have a personal relationship with Christ, I see that hand, my brother. Just keep it raised. Anybody else? I see the other hand too. Another hand too. Yes, the two of you. I see the third hand there. Okay. As I pray for you, I'll lead you in this prayer right now. Keep your hands raised, and those that are in ministry can just look around and see who those persons are, because I want you to talk to them afterwards. Keep the hands raised. Please keep the hands raised. Thank you. Pray after me and say, Dear God, thank you for speaking to me. I thank you that you have an agenda for me, not just for my life, but for this world. But I do realize that my sin prevents me, which I surrender to you, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me and set me free. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to transform my life inside out. I thank you that from today, my relationship is established with you. I will follow you. I will love you daily. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for these beloved ones, the three of them that have surrendered their lives to you, praying that, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you strengthen them and encourage them in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I pray for the rest of us, oh God. Yes, we bring ourselves to a renewal of our commitment to you, a renewal of our love for you, a renewal of our love for the Lord, a renewal of our commitment to the responsibility of your agenda that you have brought to transform the communities through us. We surrender before you, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that, Lord, you may renew our own relationships, that you may revive our own relationships with you in the name of Jesus Christ. May your purposes, O God, yes, be manifested through us in this hour and time in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the strength, give us the encouragement, give us the courage to live in this difficult world. Yes, help us to discern your presence and that you walk with us in the name of Jesus Christ, to see you as you see us, oh God. I pray for each and every member of this assembly here that, Lord, they are going to be part and parcel of this transformational agenda and continue to impact the city of Vancouver and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone that will come in contact with this church, I pray that the grace that is upon this church will touch nations in the name of Jesus Christ. To the honor and praise of your holy name, we pray. Amen.